Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to the fortnightly, it's not a wrap-up, it's a truth bomb, Tony Lecantro from Alto Capital joining me with Small Caps. We're calling this the everything bubble and the everything shortage because it is crazy out there. But if you understand a little bit about what's going on and you listen to what Tony's got to say, you'll have a pretty much a little bit of a better way to navigate these crazy volatile markets we're in. Truth bomb, Tony. Tony Lecantro, Alto Capital, good to see you.
Always a pleasure, Kerry, and bring on the banter, and hopefully viewers will take something away, a tip from somewhere or something that they might have missed. But I'm happy to sit here and tell it how it is, and it's up to them to do their own research.
Well, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, do your own research. This is Tony and I have a little bit of a chat every fortnight, but Tony, let's start with something that you and I tend to disagree a little bit with, and I've moved from New South Wales up to Queensland, so I'm not in the thick of it anymore, and I sold before the bubble started to bubble away. Never mind. Let me ask you this. Are you still of the view that the property market in Australia is bubble territory?
Great question. I'm going to confess that I bought a house last weekend.
Truth bomb Tony, who doesn't like the property market. Ladies and gentlemen, ring the bell. He's bought a house. The hell? Truth bomb Tony, what's going on?
well, the one-bedroom unit I live in just doesn't cut it anymore. I had to rent another two-bedroom unit behind when I have custody of my child. Right. So what I did, I started looking. I was putting in for rentals here $700-$800 a week with a dog. I had the Buckley's family tree of getting it.
Yeah.
So I walked into this house and it felt like home. So I bought it. I did the sums. I've cut my living expenses, have been cut 60%.
Oh.
And what I did, I locked in a five-year mortgage rate because I think rates are going to go up and very quickly. And I even paid the extra money for a rate lock, which means that if the rates change between now and settlement, I still get the same rate. But I noticed Westpac just put up their fixed rates. There's fixed rates are going up while some variables are dropping. But my view is that rates are going to go up quicker than what a lot of people expected. And Sydney and Melbourne are absolutely cooked because once the supply comes on, it'll be like trying to suck an ocean through a straw. It's going to happen. They're going to drop 30 to 40%. I know I've been saying that, but
yeah, that's what I was about to say. Tony, you know
it's
what?
It's going to happen. And try get out.
Well, I'm going to die. Mate, I'm going to die one day. Asset
when there's no buyers.
Well, there are buyers. There's a lot of buyers. There's pent-up demand, and here's where I'll argue with you on this one.
When? No, please do.
Not if, but when our international borders open up, I reckon we're going to get a bunch of people that want to come and live in Australia. I don't know why, but I think we will. And I think that as a result of that, we're going to have a shortage of supply, and once again, there's not enough stock on the market. I mean, I'll give you an example. Friends of mine, now you could call this a bubble or you could call this inflationary or you could call it whatever you want to call it. But they had their family home because the parents passed away. That happens. Death comes to us all. And their family home, they were sort of saying 6.5, maybe 7, just sold last night for 9.2. Now, here's what I think. I think, Tony, we're in an inflationary bubble at the moment, and not a bubble, but we're in inflationary times. And we only have to look at the prices of, you know, fuel here in Australia, the cost of goods and services, the costs of food. It's all going up. Inflation's here. So I think it's not about the value of something anymore in property. It's the price is going up because the dollars don't mean anything anymore because they keep printing it into oblivion. That's why I like gold. I've smacked him. He's gone silent on me, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, absolutely not. Well, okay, if you're saying there's inflation,
yep.
Why are rates are at 0.1%, right? The long-term RBA cash rate is 6.5%. They
yep.
put rates up in New Zealand. Some Kiwis are now paying up to 6% on their mortgages. The New Zealand market is toast. Rates have to go up. And in my opinion, once we open up, we're going to get a crap load of supply because when pre-COVID, the property market was dropping at a decent trajectory. So I think all this opening up dreams are already factored in. You cannot maintain property prices at 14 times price to income. I thought Sydney topped out at 12. It's now 14. The long-term average should be 5 to 6. What prices are now in Perth? But what I felt, I could feel upward pressure in Perth. I wanted to stay. I've just bought, my place is 6 kilometres from the centre of the CBD.
Okay.
I've got a choice of 2 beaches 10 kilometres away. And it was under 7 times price to income.
Right.
So I did the sums, it made sense, but there's massive upward pressure in Perth at the moment where I live. People say, oh, Lacantro, you're crazy, but I just sold a unit and I'm about to put another property on the market in Perth. So I'm selling 2, buying 1. But, you know, already I know one of my clients has just set up a real estate agency in Melbourne. He's got heaps of listings. Look, I know this is rolled on, but there's no precedent for COVID. But, geez, it's massively overpriced. And, yeah, sure, once things open up, people are going to want to live here, but they've always had that chance to live here even during the early 90s when we were in a recession and prices in Bondi were, you know, 5 or 6 times income. There's no justification for ratios to triple. You know, now Bondi is just overcrowded with a chemist warehouse on the beachfront to give it that Western Sydney feel. So,
Tony,
anyway, I just think this is absolute stupidity across all assets. But the issue is with shares, it's like having a 4-bedroom house where you can sell off a bedroom. I just think, you know, I've had to pay stamp duty. These things take time. There's liquidity risk. There's the fact that the buyer might be able to get financed. To me, I'd feel massively exposed if I was signing up for a huge mortgage when interest rates are going up and there's the threat of losing your job. But
Tony, do you think the government is going to... Because, listen, here in Australia, it's all property, property, property. Our banks rely on the mortgage market to prop themselves up and give them massive profits over the years. And, of course, their customers are... their shareholders, and they want to keep giving them the dividends. So I am absolutely certain that they will be lobbying the government pretty hard, the 4 big ones at least, not to put up interest rates because of the pain that that will give everybody across the board. And I'd say that the government's going to be under an awful lot of pressure not to do that. Now, the RBA has already come out and said a couple of times that they're not going to raise rates until 2024. Now you're saying
kind of rubbish.
Okay.
But the bond market,
you're saying they're lying.
I just don't think they've got a friggin' clue. Bond prices are falling, which means yields are going up. The Australian interest rates, the yields are increasing rapidly, which would suggest an interest rate increase next year. So actually,
next year.
Correcto mundo. If I was the RBA, I'd slip in an interest rate increase when everyone's had a skin full on Melbourne Cup Day, which is 2 weeks away. They're going to have to lift rates. You cannot have rates at 0.1 with inflationary pressures.
Yep.
So RBA not lifting rates for 3 years, to steal a line from the castle, tell them they're dreaming. So the Australian bond market is getting decimated, which is suggesting higher interest rates sooner rather than later. And this APRA changing conditions where their stress test is pushed out, combined with higher interest rates, are absolutely going to kill the property market. And what happened to someone in Perth that bought it in 2005, 10 kilometres from the city, 16 years later, hasn't made a cracker on their property. No one cared. Perth was more expensive than Sydney in 2006. We've had the nastiest bear market here. The price to income ratios in Perth are fair. The RBA cannot manage a speculative bubble when they're trying to manage an economy where inflationary pressures aren't transportable, transitory. If the inflationary pressures are real, and if you're about to pay $2 a litre for fuel, you're going to have massive increases in vegetables and meat. The CPI, it's going to increase. The only effective tool to stop inflation is frigging interest rate increases. Yeah. And we're at a time where the interest rates can only go up. Banks are going to have to tack on mortgages. That will send buyers scurrying. And then you've got a correction. But interestingly, I'll say that it only takes two people in a street in outer Western Sydney to sell, and that real estate agent has price discovery, and suddenly you've got a 10 to 20% correction straight away. So, I was on track to look like half a genius because property prices were falling leading into the election and they were falling after the election. And then we had this black swan event called COVID, which is everyone thinks they've made a shitload of money. Well, they have on paper, but you've got to realise those gains. But who would have thought a global pandemic would mean that property owners are getting 14 times price to income? There's a shortage of supply. Cryptocurrencies on fire. All these assets on fire due to something that's killing millions of people. It's the black swan, that the reverse black swan.
Okay, so there's investors listening to you and I having this chat, and I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to go hard on property, and let's do a little bet. I'll buy you a bottle of champagne if you're right and I'm wrong, or vice versa. 12 months from now. So you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Bottle of Verve.
Verve's a good one.
Yeah, I agree with that. Verve. So a bottle of Verve, if, what's the date today? The 20th November 2022. Interest rates needed to have gone up by?
No, just once.
Oh, just once?
Mm-hmm.
No, in a year's time. Listen, they can put them up by 10 basis points and that's going up once. That's not going to completely kill the market.
Let's call it a quarter of, they'll be at or higher than a quarter of a percent November, Melbourne Cup Day next year. Melbourne Cup Day next year.
Okay, they're currently 0.1.
0.1.
And what are they going to be by November next year?
I'm going to say 0.5%. We'll match New Zealand by Melbourne Cup Day next year, because Melbourne Cup Day is when the RBA should slip in an increase when we're all...
Why don't we do a double bet here? Sorry, I don't want to waste your time, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't we do a double bet? It's got to be 0.5 and the market in Sydney has got to have dropped by 10%.
Oh, geez. You really like your verb, don't you?
Well, you're the one saying that you think the market's going to drop by 40%, so I'm just calling you on it. Well,
I'm going to be right. I was looking as though I was right till a global pandemic hit.
Lock it in, Eddie. Down 10% in Sydney. Rates 0.5. One of us is going to be right. One of us is not. One of us is going to get a bottle of champagne. Right. Let's keep going on some other.
I'm not doing a nudie run.
No, and I wouldn't want to see that anyway. So, investor audience out here listening to us, Tony, in an inflationary market, in a market where you think property is overpriced in Sydney, what advice would you give to people? Because, I mean, the resources sector seems to be quite strong at the moment. I think that there's been underinvestment in finding new sources of supply, be it copper or nickel or tin or whatever. So the prices seem to be strengthening. And look at uranium. We can get into that as a separate conversation. But do you think right now we're going into a bull run in the resources sector across all commodities?
I don't believe in the super cycle bullshit. To me, that's just resources salesman saying, look, we're going to have supply constraints. We still got issues with China and Evergrande. So some major houses are actually bearish on commodities. Some are bullish. I'd actually say the pressure in base metals is to the downside, regardless of supply. These things are cyclical. People make calls stronger for longer, and they're making the same calls lower for longer with interest rates. So I'd be cautious with base metals. Where I am extremely bullish is gold, and in particular silver.
Oh, and in particular silver.
Yeah, I actually have physical silver. I think silver is a much tighter market and would be easily more manipulated. Oh, sorry, I didn't say that. Manipulated. It could be pushed in a northeasterly direction easier.
Well, and,
silver's
up a little bit today, not enormously, probably around $24. Are you seeing a big run in the silver price? And by the way, sometimes I say, look, don't look short term, look how it holds its value. But I guess in an inflationary market, do you see silver running to what, 50, as it was back in the 80s, I think it was?
It almost got there in 2011. On his deathbed, my dad said, we had this guy visit our horse stud in New Zealand. And he said, it was Bunker Hunt. And I thought, wow, that's a bit of useless trivia, because my grandfather had horses for Bunker Hunt. And then I explained to my kids that this guy tried to corner the silver market. And obviously it failed. But, go back to 2011, I think about March, April, and the silver price was on an absolute tear. And if they can get prices of crypto, even prices of coal and iron ore to stupid levels,
yeah,
what could they do to silver? So, gold has been great in maintaining purchasing power. I look at that slide Jordan Alessio put up about 700 ounces of gold in 1971 and buying a house, and 700 ounces of gold now would get you a two-bedroom knockdown in Campsie. So that's the silver. Gold has maintained its purchasing power, and that's exactly what you want to do. But, silver is, it's like cloudy with a chance of meatballs. So not only are you going to protect your purchasing power, but you've also got the chance for some people to come in and try and manipulate the hell of it, and then you go and sell your 1 kilo bars, whatever you have. So I love silver. I think that's probably the best precious metal or commodity you could have.
Physical or equities or both?
Well, it depends. It depends how paranoid you are or worried, because I've met some clients that have up to $2 million cash and they're worried about everything. And it's a case of, are you a doomsday prepper? Do you have a shoddy baked beans, sardines? But the point is, if you're worried about bank bail-ins, you can spread your money across, but that's no guarantee.
Yes.
People say that the Perth Mint's a risk. People say that the government's at risk. People say that they could confiscate your precious metals. I would have a combination of physical. I think people need to do their own research on the silver ETFs.
Oh, yes, silver ETFs, yep.
Yep, silver and gold ETFs, probably backed by some org or government that people are then scared of. I mean, life is too frigging short to have a shit ton of money and worry about losing it when, you're not going to live to 150. But my point is, silver equities would go absolutely nuts, like gold and silver equities did in 1978 to 1980.
Right.
So, you look at some of these other stocks, to me, once silver catches on, There's no real huge number of silver companies out there. Sure as shit, there might be five now, but I can guarantee you there'll be another 200 within a year of the bubble. So I think silver's a great place to maintain your purchasing power and to an extent keep your money away from the banks, because we still haven't had a banking crisis yet. And Jesus, with the way things are, I mean, that's still a possibility.
Right. You mentioned China before and Evergrande. What are your thoughts on that and the impact it may or may not have on Australia? Do you think China shot itself in the foot a little? I mean, taking Evergrande aside, and China has been a bit cranky with us. It's like the divorce that's been going on for a long time. And then suddenly the one that wants to get divorced, China, has suddenly said, oh, I think I still love you. Where do you see China and Australia's relationship at the moment?
Probably not the best. You can see what happened to the iron ore price. You can see what's happening with Chinese growth. You can see the potential domino effect of Evergrande leading into other developers. You can see the ghost cities. You can see the huge amount of debt. So, I mean, China, really, if the China bubble seriously bursts, we're in for a world of pain. And that's going to extend to a number of our industries. It's also going to extend further downside on the iron ore price. So I'd be worried about it. I think that, you know, if people got to say if they're missing their payments, then they're in trouble. And it's all about leverage. The world is awash with leverage, and China is of particular concern. So, I think our major indices are vulnerable to some decent downside, as they were during the GFC when our market pretty much halved.
Do you think we're a lot of people, you know, right now, a lot of people making a lot of money in the markets. Do you think it's a little bit toppy? Do you think we're going to have, you know, another 20% of sort of a blow off top, and then we're going to be in for a world of pain? Or do you think there are going to be parts of the market like resources where you can be a little bit protected, and then potentially other parts like maybe the banks and some of the tech stocks might be whacked a little bit harder?
Well, in a liquidity crunch, there's nowhere to hide. So they'll whack all the stocks, they'll whack gold and silver, they'll whack resource equities, and the living shit will be punched out of cryptocurrencies, all friggin' 9,000 of them. So, look, we are going to cop it, but then there's going to be, hey, wait a sec, where's the money going to go? And I think that it's hopefully going to head towards precious metals. And that there are going to be some more crazy speculations out there, you know, NFTs, or someone will come up with some other craze, or Elon Musk will open up his mouth, or who knows. But in a liquidity crunch, there's nowhere to hide.
But right now, Tony, there is so much what I call the funny money, not only going into the stock market and into the property market, but it's also sitting on the sidelines waiting to come in, because of the amount of stimulus, the amount of government spending that's going on. I can see that prices could just be going up and up. I can't see that massive fall that people are talking about. You know, and you talked about a reverse black swan event before. Can you see what might cause it to flip? And, you know, where is all this excess funny money going to go?
You don't need a pin. All you need in any bubble is an exhaustion of buyers. But the biggest fear now is going to be interest rates, which are heading up because they just jacked them up in New Zealand. Yeah, so it's going to come here, and then suddenly money's expensive. People, the wealth effect will wear off. You've got pockets of the economy that are going to struggle for years. It's going to end, and it will end very quickly, because sentiment is going to change, and no amount of stimulus or support is going to save stocks from a 50% correction, even if you're a blue chip, because it didn't work during the GFC. And the government isn't just going to say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, hey, have a 30-year interest free holiday on your home loan. We'll let you own your home, and interest rates aren't going to go up, because that's not going to happen, because market forces are telling us that rates have to go up. And to me, that could be the pin. But as I said just before, you don't actually need a pin. Markets can roll over when the stupid money runs out. all the, you know, you've got to find a greater fool to sell an asset. You know, you buy a house for $5 million, and you've got to try and find a greater person, greater idiot to sell it for $8 million.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. The way markets operate.
And you're absolutely right. Now, Tony, this is our fortnightly get together. I want you to tell our audience what you think they should be doing right now. Should they be putting their money in the stock market? Should they be saving it in cash? Should they be burying it in the backyard? What would your advice be for people to grow and protect their wealth in these volatile times?
Well, let's remember, this is only general advice.
Absolutely. Do your own research.
Yeah. If I had a lot of money, I would be at least spreading it amongst banks. So if you've got $1 million cash, go and open up a few accounts, get it across some banks. I'd look at physical gold. I'd also look at physical silver. I'd put all my useless stuff on Gumtree or go donate it to charity, because that's what I'm doing. Who wants things that weigh you down? If you have an overpriced used car, I'd be selling that to someone who thinks that the shortage will go on forever. Just tidy up, sandbag your balance sheets, sell your overpriced tech stocks. Think about it. Hey, wait, I can get $105 from my CBA shares. Are they going to go to 200? Well, you've got to get advice on that. And look at it. Can I survive a 30 to 40% property correction with 6% mortgage repayments? If the answer to that is no, get some friggin' help. Get help now before other people are trying to get themselves out of a dilemma, because, you know, this can and will not continue forever. So I just think you've got to look after your family. Don't believe what other people are saying, even dismiss what I'm saying. But, you know, there's no friends when it comes to money. And what I'm doing is trying to look after my family to give them, you know, protection against rising rates, shelter. And I don't want to become a property investor. To me, all I want is my family home. And the moral of the story is, Kerry, is I live well below my means. Well below. Ah,
there you go. I think that's a beautiful way to end it, ladies and gentlemen. Live below your means. That's the best way to do it. Don't tap and go, tap, tap, tap away, and then don't have anything to show for it. Listen to what Tony just said. Now, I'm just going to reiterate it once again so everybody knows. Our bet is for a bottle of Verb. We weren't betting the house on this, ladies and gentlemen. The rates, Tony's rate will be 0.5 at Melbourne Cup Day next year, and the Sydney property market down 10%. Mine is 0.2 and the Sydney property market up 10%. There we go. There you have it. And also, ladies and gentlemen, on the 18th of November, given what Tony said about gold and silver, we will be running a virtual gold event. So you can go to goldevents.com.au. It's free to register. We will be hearing from Jim Rickards, from Ian Plimer. I may even convince Tony Lecantre to come and have a chat as well. So go to goldevents.com.au, register, get some really interesting chats there, and hear from some of the mining companies. Tony Lecantre, great to see you here on Small Caps, and I will see you again in a fortnight. Let's see what happens in a fortnight's time.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Harry. Thanks for yours.